What the servant of God was called to write, beloved, concerning the great supper that is still in the future applies to us and to the supper of which we partake this morning. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Essentially, that great supper that we will celebrate one day at the end, and the supper that we celebrate this morning, are one and the same. That supper will be, as it is called in my text, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is, the marriage supper of Jesus, who is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And this supper is also the Lord's Supper, as the Apostle describes it in 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, this supper is the earthly copy of that heavenly supper in the future, a preliminary manifestation, as it were, of that great supper that is in the future. Both this earthly form and that heavenly reality celebrate the same thing, the marriage of the Lamb and His bride. The meal is the same. It consists of the body and blood of the crucified and risen Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And the wedding party is the same. The wedding party this morning and the wedding party in the future. The Lamb and His bride, the church. Or with regard to the individual persons who make up the bride of the Lamb, the wedding party is Jesus Christ and all elect believers. In fact, the relation between this supper and the heavenly supper referred to in our text this morning is that this supper is part of the call of God to us unto the heavenly supper in the future. The text speaks of the blessedness of those who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That call includes the sacrament of the supper and our partaking of the sacrament of the supper. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a means of grace to the people of God. And by this supper, God works so that the Church of Jesus Christ is preserved and strengthened, so that she perseveres to the day in which she will sit down at that great table with Jesus Christ and of all the saints to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. By means of the sacrament attached to the preaching of the word this morning, God calls each of us personally, preserving us in the faith, strengthening us in our confession of the gospel, purifying our lives, strengthening us so that, tempted though we may be to despair, we are encouraged to continue on our pilgrim trek until the great marriage supper of the Lamb and His bride. We begin this morning, therefore, to experience and enjoy the blessedness of which the text speaks. Blessed are the guests at the supper of the Lamb. We begin to experience that blessedness in our partaking of this supper. Blessed are we who are guests at this supper this morning. And blessed we shall be by partaking of this supper. Consider with me then the word of God in our text. Blessed guests at the marriage supper. We notice two things in explaining and applying the word of God in the text. First, blessed are the guests in attending this supper. And second, blessed are the guests in being called to the supper. Blessed guests at the marriage supper. Blessed in attending, blessed in being called. Blessed are the guests at the marriage supper of the Lamb because of the honor of attending this marriage supper. The Word of God in our text pronounces the guests blessed. That is, it declares the guests to be the object of God's favor, declares the guests to be privileged with a heavenly honor, and it pronounces the guests to be favored by God with the benefits of salvation themselves. And the blessedness of these guests consists in the first place of the honor itself in attending this supper. The great supper that is coming for the people of God is not a celebration of some ordinary and everyday matter, but that supper will be the celebration of the goal of God with all of creation and with all of history. The purpose or goal of God with creation and with all of history is the marriage supper of the Lamb and His bride. In God's decree of election, He ordained this marriage supper as the goal of all His works and ways. In the sending forth of His Son, Jesus Christ, God redeemed the bride of Jesus Christ so that she might be His beloved bride and people. Throughout history, the work of God in Jesus Christ is the gathering of this wife of Jesus Christ. When history has come to its climax, God will raise all who belong to the bride of Jesus Christ from the grave and unite all of the members into this one beautiful and precious body. The supper referred to in the text is a celebration of that event, the marriage of Jesus and His church. The guests at this celebration, therefore, are certainly blessed by the very honor of attending this celebration. According to the text in the passage, each of us personally who believes on Jesus Christ will be such a guest at that marriage supper. In the preceding verses, the picture is a little different. In the preceding verses, it is made plain that the church herself is the wife or bride of Jesus Christ. The preceding verses speak of the Lamb and His bride. In our text, the figure is changed somewhat in order to emphasize the personal sharing in the honor of the Great Supper that is coming, and therefore refers to the guests at this supper, the members of the church who are honored in that great ceremony are the living members personally of the body of Jesus Christ. It is an honor to be among that throng who sit down at the marriage supper. We have something like that even in our own experience, especially with the powerful and the wealthy and the famous. Men and women consider it to be an honor to be invited to such a wedding and to participate in that ceremony. How much more honorable will it not be to be among that throng of the redeemed who are in attendance at the marriage of the Lamb and His bride. Similarly, you and I are honored to participate in the earthly form of that future heavenly supper. We sit down with each other, chosen, redeemed, sanctified, and gathered by Jesus Christ. We sit down as members with all of the other members of the church, chosen unto eternal life from eternity, and especially is our honor this, that in partaking of this supper, we have fellowship with the Lamb Himself, Jesus Christ Himself, risen from the dead in all His glory and honor. As part of the church and individually as beloved by Him and sharing in His salvation. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper also with regard to the banquet that is partaken of and enjoyed at this supper. After all, the text refers to this great event, this celebration, as a supper. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This supper consists of precious, invigorating delicacies and bounties. The food and drink of this supper are nothing less than the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which become for us and are partaken of by us in their spiritual reality as the forgiveness of our sins, righteousness with God, holiness of life, peace and joy and hope. These are the bounties that will be enjoyed in the great supper that is coming. And these are the delicacies that are enjoyed by faith as we partake of the earthly form of that great supper. And thus, by these bounties, we are invigorated and quickened with regard to our spiritual and eternal life. Just as natural food invigorates us and quickens us with regard to our earthly life, so these spiritual bounties and delicacies invigorate us with regard to our eternal life. The blessing of the marriage supper is that we enjoy life eternal, the consummation of the covenant of grace, which is communion with God in Jesus Christ. Blessed are we this morning, guests at the earthly form of the marriage supper of the Lamb, in view of that which we will partake of and enjoy, and in view of the eternal life that is renewed in us by this eating and drinking. And blessed are the guests at the marriage supper also with regard simply to the great joy of this supper. After all, the meals that are part of weddings are not mainly for the purpose of supporting our earthly life. But the main purpose of the meal at a wedding is that it is the occasion for the enjoyment and expression of the celebration of the gladness of the marriage itself. In our eating and drinking, we rejoice with the married couple and rejoice with the rest of the family and the friends of the married couple. And so it is regarding the marriage supper of the Lamb. We partake of the bounties and delicacies of the crucified and risen Jesus Christ unto our perfect salvation. But in our participation in that supper of the Lamb, we celebrate the marriage of the Lamb and His bride, of which bride we ourselves personally are a part. Great joy will be ours at that supper. Belonging to the joy of our perfect fellowship with Christ and our perfect fellowship with God in Jesus Christ will be our joy that we are perfectly delivered from all our sins, from all the sorrows that we endured in this life, from all our infirmities, from all our disappointments. Our joy will be the great joy of sinlessness, of the liberty of salvation, and the enjoyment of those pleasures that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and it never entered into the heart of man to imagine, the things that God has laid away for His church and for each of us personally, who is a living member of the church. Blessed indeed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb in our attending that marriage supper. There is one more aspect to the blessedness of those who are guests at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that is that in our participation at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we are delivered from the other supper, of which Revelation 19 speaks. Revelation 19 does not only speak of the supper that we find in our text, the marriage supper of the Lamb, but it speaks also of another future great supper. And that supper is the gruesome supper of the devouring of all of the ungodly, whose head in one way or another throughout history is the Antichrist, by the fowls of the heaven. In the latter part of Revelation 19, a call goes out to all of the birds of prey, come and feast upon the dead members of the world of the ungodly. If one is not a guest at the marriage supper of the Lamb, then one will be involved in that gruesome other supper. That the fowls that stand for the everlasting wrath of God will devour the reprobate ungodly, soul and body, forever. To be a guest at the marriage supper of the Lamb is to be delivered and redeemed from that other gruesome, awful supper of enduring the wrath of God forever, body and soul. Because of this blessedness of attending the marriage supper of the Lamb, the guests are also blessed by virtue of being called to that supper. There is a blessedness in being called to that supper. The text doesn't only speak of the blessedness of the guests, it speaks of the blessedness particularly of being called to that supper of the Lamb and His bride, the church. To be a guest at that supper, one must be called. That calling is not a powerless invitation to all humans without exception. Acceptance of which powerless invitation determines that one will be a guest at the marriage supper of salvation. That's the way it is with human invitations to human wedding celebrations. An invitation comes in the mail. Attend this marriage and the supper that is connected with this marriage. RSVP. If you please, if you are willing to do so, that's not the nature of the calling to this heavenly marriage supper of salvation. If that were the case, there would be no guest at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Wonderful and blessed as that marriage supper will be. For such is our sinfulness and total depravity and bondage to Satan, that all of us without exception would decline that invitation, would prefer not to participate in the wedding supper of the Lamb, but to go on our sinful way until we also become the gruesome meal of the fowls of the wrath of God forever. The calling to the wedding supper of the Lamb is an almighty, irresistible, efficacious calling. It is a calling from God that regenerates us and makes us new men and women. It is a calling from God that works faith in us, drawing us irresistibly to Christ and to the great marriage supper that lies in the future. We come to that supper as we come to this supper willingly. God doesn't force us to that marriage supper of the Lamb. And He doesn't force us this morning against our will to this earthly form of that marriage supper. But it is God who works in us by the calling that my text speaks of, to make us willing and ready and eager to sit down with Christ and with all of the saints to partake of the benefits of salvation. The calling, therefore, is also blessed. The guests are blessed. The calling to that feast of salvation is also blessed. For that calling is a gracious calling. It isn't a calling to those who are worthy of the feast of salvation. It will not be that in the great day of Christ, and it is not that this Sunday morning as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper. In fact, it's a calling of men and women who are completely unworthy in ourselves because of our sinfulness and our sins. I confess that when I was especially thinking about that great celebration that lies in the future, at which I will be a participant, one of the guests, I was tempted to suppose that my response when I find myself there will be to shake my head, to ask myself and the Lord the question, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. I'm not worthy of being here. We can be similarly tempted with regard to our right and worthiness to partake of this earthly form of that heavenly supper. That's a temptation. And the only safeguard against that temptation is the calling itself with which Christ calls us and will call us one day. That calling by Jesus Christ itself bestows upon us the worthiness and the right to participate in the supper that is coming and in this form of the supper this morning. That calling bestows upon us righteousness, the righteousness of the cross and death of Jesus Christ. Imputes to us that perfect righteousness of Christ. And that calling by Jesus Christ itself as it goes out this morning in the preaching of the gospel also works in us in such a way as to make us holy, so that we are devoted to Christ and to God and have a sincere desire to receive from Him the blessings of salvation. Our worthiness is the Lamb whose supper this is, who shares His worthiness with us, His bride, and personally with us, who are living, believing members of that bride. All our sinfulness and guilt are washed away before God and in our own consciousness. We are those who have obeyed the law of God perfectly and have never transgressed any of His commandments. Blessed then are the guests at the supper this morning. And as this blessedness floods our souls and becomes our experience, we rejoice with great joy. Yes, there's a place this morning for sorrow, deep sorrow, as we have examined ourselves and come to know again the depravity of our nature and the imperfection of our obedience. But already as we anticipate to partake of the supper, joy floods our souls, the joy of forgiveness, the joy of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. When we leave this place, our hearts ought to be and will be overflowing with joy. Guests at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Our response in the end is the great Alleluia with which chapter 19 of Revelation begins. Alleluia! We will sing and shout, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, grant to us the confidence of faith that we are called by Thee. The confidence of a faith that works penitence over sin. Trust in Thy Son and His grace. And also a resolve, a hearty resolve, to live our lives more and more holily unto Thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.